Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord again tonight. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 6. For some of you, Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 6. And we're going to look at a few things. We're just going to continue on our series on some talking about wisdom through mainly the book of Proverbs. But I kind of want to go back to what I talked about last. I wanted to elaborate on one thing. When I was in Bible college, which was a long time ago now, it's about over 20 years now, I remember going into it and I had that fire and that zeal. And you go in as a freshman or as a first-year person, and there's so much that, well, when you go in as a freshman, you think you know everything, right? And then when you leave Bible college, you realize, man, I didn't learn anything. I don't know anything. You just realize how much you don't know. And when I was there, we would have during our last year, our senior year, we'd have time with the pastor and some of the staff. And we felt like, you know, we were about to go into the deep end. We finished Bible college. We're going to go into full-time ministry. And one of the questions that was often asked, it was a recurring question. It was this, to the men that have served there for decades, it was this question: if you could leave us with one word of advice, just one thing, if you were on your dying bed, if you could just tell me one thing, what would it be? And for many of them, the answer was this: walk with God. Walk with God. And those three words resonated with a lot of Bible college students and people who went through the college and has resonated even until now. And it's a very, very important thing. And we think, what does it mean to walk with God? Last time I preached, I spoke about how to make a wise decision. Now, our lives are made up of decisions that we make. Very important decisions. As we talk about the simple one who hasn't entered into that realm of complexities in their lives and what they decide on and things that they want to do and they decide on to do may impact the rest of their lives. I'm scared. My son's 14 years old. He's old enough to work. Did you hear that? You're old enough to work now and contribute with to rent and groceries. But man, he's getting to that age where he's got to decide what he wants to do. Because he's almost there. It's hard to believe. I remember when he used to be cute, and it was a very long time ago, very, very long time ago. It was 14 years ago. But man, the decisions that he has to make even now, and it's very, very important. And so making wise decisions is a very, very important thing to do. And I don't know if you remember the first step. Can anyone remember the first step that I mentioned into making a wise decision? Can anyone? Michael, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you remember? He doesn't remember. He doesn't know anything, right? Anyone remember? All right, good. I'm glad you're all listening. The first step is this: fear God. Fear God. Why? And it's the first step. It's forming your attitude before you make the other steps. It's very, very important that we fear God because it affects your decision-making. It affects your decision-making. Tonight, I want to share with you an encounter of men who got in the presence of God, and I want to share just two things. Did you get that? Just two things, two main points with several thousand sub-points, but just two things tonight that when they encountered God and they got in the presence of God, there were two things that happened. I want to talk to you about that tonight. And this will be the very reason why it's important that we first, before making any decision, that we fear God. That we fear God. Let's go to Lord in prayer and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight for everyone who's come. I pray, Lord, that you would bless them tonight. I know they've come here to hear from your word. They're not here for me or anything else, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just use me as a mouthpiece, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would fill me with thy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd be in our midst. You would teach us. You would illuminate our hearts and minds. You know me, I'm inadequate, Lord. I'm nothing. I'm dirt held by the grace of God. And if it weren't for you, Lord, I'd be nothing. And Lord, I just pray that you would just bless the next few moments that as we look at this subject on fearing you, Lord. Bless us, Lord, right now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 4:7, if you remember, says this: wisdom is the principal thing. The word principal there means the first, the beginning, the chief, the choice part. That's what it's about. Wisdom, that's the first thing. You know what a principal is? They are first in command, right, in a school. And wisdom, in your life, wisdom is the principal thing. And it says, therefore, get wisdom. Now, Proverbs 9:10 says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, we're supposed to get wisdom because it's the principal thing. But in order to get wisdom, first of all, we have to fear the Lord. We have to fear the Lord. Okay, everyone following? There's just a couple things right now. We've got to fear the Lord. I love this year's theme, Almighty God. And I love learning about God. I love learning about His character. I love learning about the things that He does. And it's just been a real blessing. And I think it's a very important theme for us all to grasp because of this very reason. Okay, we must fear the Lord, the Almighty God. To fear or reverence or respect the Lord, we need to get closer to Him. You know, when I was first dating my wife, I remember it wasn't love at first sight. I knew I was going to get married to her before we even met. Amen. I'm just trying to be romantic now. But I remember in order for me, I wanted to get to know that pretty girl over there. And in order for me to get to know her and to get to know her character and to get to know the things that she likes and the things that she doesn't like and the things that make her tick and the things that make her happy, I wanted to know all her favorite things. I'm still working on it, okay? I'm not sure what your favorite color is yet, but I will learn. One of these days I will ask you. But in order for me to know those things about my wife, I needed to get close to her. In order to know more about God, in order to know more about Him and His character and the things that make Him happy, the things that make Him angry, the things that make Him sad, the thing that makes Him grieve, all those things, if we're to learn about Him, then we need to get closer to Him. Now, I mentioned the fear of the Lord. The fear is not just merely being afraid of the result of something, okay? When we look at a bear, who saw that on the news? There was a bear in the tree, okay? Drop bears are real, okay? Emily, welcome to Australia back again. And yes, drop bears are real. But there's that element of what's going to happen, you know? If I stand underneath that bear, I'm dead meat. It's not merely just that, but it's a reverence. It's a respect. But sometimes we don't respect God, do we? We think, oh, okay, He's just the guy who created everything. He's the guy, this. We know a little bit about Him, but maybe that's the reason why we don't respect God. Maybe the reason why we don't revere God is because we really don't know Him. We don't know what makes Him happy. We don't know what makes Him angry. We don't know what makes Him sad. We don't know the things that He likes. And because of that, we don't respect Him or fear Him or revere Him. I remember meeting a guy, and I didn't know anything about him. I just thought, oh, there's this guy on the plane, right? It's just, you know, whatever. It's just like an ordinary person. But as I sat next to him, I started learning about him. I started learning that he's a multimillionaire. I started learning that that he had a company, and you know, this was on our honeymoon. that's another story. We on our honeymoon, we did first class, but we sat in different places. Anyway, and the more I learned about this guy, the more I started having more respect for this man. Why? Because I started learning about him. At first, I thought this is just an ordinary guy. This is just another guy. It's just another man in sitting on an airplane. But the more I got to know this man, the more I started respecting him because I found out who this man was. You know, sometimes we don't respect or fear or revere God because we don't know anything about God. If I were to ask you, what are the things that make him happy? Could you tell me? Could you list me a few things? If I were to ask you, what are things that make him angry? Do you know the seven things that he hates? Do you know this and that? Do you know his favorite color? I don't know his favorite color. I think all of them. What do you know about God? And I think many people in our world don't respect and revere God because they don't know anything about God. And because they don't know anything about God, they don't respect him. There are songs foolishly sung about him, maybe just being an ordinary guy, but that's not my God. My God's just not an ordinary guy just journeying through life. My God is the Almighty God. My God is the one who created everything that we see in 6 days. My God is the one who spans his hand and says, look, that's the size of the universe. My God is the one who says, you know what, the earth, I call it my footstool, okay? Whether it be flat or whatever, I guess it may be flat. No, it's not. Don't even entertain that. But that's my God. My God is the one who can part the Red Sea. My God is the one who can flood the whole world. My God is the one who can send a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. Or is it the other way? But that's my God. That's my God who's able to do these great and mighty things. My God is the one who's the God of love because he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, his only son. That's love. The one who shared his mercy for us, that's my God. And the more and more I learned about God, the more I respected God. The more I revered God, the more I had the fear of the Lord. We've got to get closer to him in order to know more about him, in order to respect him and to fear God. And it's very, very important. That was all introduction. Let's look in Isaiah chapter 6. I heard there's a timer, but it's blank, so it's like a blank check. You just write whatever you want on there. Look at Isaiah chapter 6, and I want to talk about one man who had an encounter with God. Here in Isaiah chapter 6, and you all know where I'm getting at here, verse 1, it says this, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." This is a man that had an encounter with God himself. To share a little bit of context here, King Uzziah had just died. He was a good king. He was a strong king, and he was doing great. He was a king at a young age, but pride got to him. It ended his heart in 2 Chronicles 26. You can read about that. But the nation became spiritually cold. It became sinful, and it started drifting away from God. In a time of uncertainty, Isaiah saw something greater than an earthly king. Perhaps he may have revered King Uzziah as a great king, and great disappointment was there when King Uzziah died. But in the year that he died, he saw this, and the Bible says, "I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up." Isaiah didn't just hear about God, he encountered the holiness of God. You see, the fear of God, again, is not merely just being scared of being punished. The fear of God is a deep reverence, an awe, an awareness of who God is. Play back in your mind and think about, you're not really playing back, but I want you to think ahead, and maybe one day when we're at that judgment seat of Christ, when we see Christ in all his glory, I want you to be thinking about how you're going to feel when you see him. When I see him and on his white horse, that's going to be an awesome time riding. What are you going to feel? If Jesus comes up to you, will you know enough about him to be able to talk to him about the things about him? Are you going to be excited when Christ comes? Are you going to be excited when you see God? When I see God, I don't know. I don't know enough about God to really know the majesty of our Almighty God. But I can imagine when I meet God Almighty, it's going to be a very sobering time. And here Isaiah, he meets God in all his glory. And these are some things that happen when he encountered God. The first thing is, when we get closer to God, just as Isaiah did, our sin is revealed. Our sin is revealed. Going ahead here, and I want to talk about the seraphims because I don't want you boys just wondering about this seraphim that's got six wings and doing all these things, okay? We'll skip over here to verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Here, notice, if you go back in verse 3, talking about the seraphims, one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Can you imagine that when seraphims, you got this creature which is flying on two wings. He's got two wings covering his feet. He's got two wings covering his eyes. And they're crying out holy, and it's showing the majesty and the holiness of God. This is what Isaiah says. He realizes, he says, I am unclean. He says, my lips are unclean. He says, my people are unclean. Who's got a teenager in the home? Am I the only one? Okay, you've got a okay, you are the teenager in the home. Okay, so I'm glad Mike and I have teenagers in the home. None of you all else have. But you know what? Sometimes when you walk into a room of your teenager, sometimes you don't realize how dirty it is. Okay. And in darkness and in where there's no light, it's hard to really see, oh, is this room clean? We have a rule that they don't get screen time until their room is clean. And sometimes the light is turned off for a reason, right? Like, oh, I guess it looks good. But you know what happens when we turn on the light? It all shows, right? Multitude of sins, the dirty socks. We got underwear and whatnot. We got food from a month ago, and all is revealed. When that light shines and that brightness shines, everything is revealed, and we don't realize our sinful nature until we get close to God, do we? This is a man who in the previous chapters have been preaching against the sins of the people. He was, whoa, all these things that you're committing, all these sins. And this is a man that preaches. And sometimes we get that way as preachers. Man, we're preaching away and we're talking about sin. We're talking about these things that we shouldn't do. But man, when we get in the presence of God, we're no match. We think, oh God, I'm just a sinner. I'm terrible. I'm rotten. I don't know, Lord. And here Isaiah, he's face to face with God. And he says, man, I'm unclean. And Isaiah was a man of God. He was a righteous God. But when he got an encounter with God, his sin was revealed. Peter in Luke 5, when Jesus filled the nets with fish, he says, look, he encountered the miracle of the nets being filled with fish. He says this, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Peter encountered God and his sin was revealed. Job in chapter 42, verse 5 through 6, he says, I have heard of thee, but now mine eye seeth thee. Job repented when he encountered God personally. Daniel, in Daniel 10, Daniel lost all strength in God's presence. And all these men and many more characters, when they got in the presence of God, guess what was revealed? Their sin. Their sin. Sometimes we stay distant from God because we don't want that conviction. We don't want our sins to be revealed. But conviction is mercy. God reveals sin so he can cleanse it. In Isaiah chapter 6, look at verse 6 through 7. Then flew one Some of you teenagers, 6 or 7. All right. Then flew one of the seraphims up to me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. His sins were taken care of. He was cleansed. You know what the fear of God does? It changes our decisions. You know, when we get close to God, excuse me, I got something. Anyway, when we get close to God, our sin is revealed. And when our sin is revealed, it changes the way that we decide certain things. You know, sometimes we make wrong decisions because we're not close to God. And as we're not close to God, we're not thinking about the things that God wants. We're not thinking about the things that God desires for us, or maybe looking at what God's plan is. Maybe we're selfish and looking at, you know, what's best for me? Maybe what's best for, you know, sometimes parents, we look at our kids and think, you know what, I know it's wrong, but you know what, it's best for them. I know God's against it, but it's best for them. Oh man, I don't know what it is, but when we're not close to God and our sin is not revealed, it changes the way we make decisions, and then we make the wrong decisions. It's very, very important that we fear God. It changes the way we say things, what we watch, and how we treat people, and what we do in secret, whether we do something for God or not. It changes those things. Do you see why it's very important that before trying to make a wise decision, that our mind has that attitude of fear for God? Because in fearing God, it reveals our sin. And when it reveals our sin, guess what? Our decisions change, don't it? It changes. You know, before you make a wise decision, check your heart. Are we right with God when we make a decision? I'd hate to make an impulse decision because I know that if I'm not right with God, I will make the wrong decision. Get close to God. Have that fear of God. Your sin will be revealed. Secondly, oh, the time is up. Thank you. Secondly, the closer we get to God, the more fully we surrender. The more fully we surrender. Check out verse 8 here. Verse 8, he says this. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Notice the order. So Isaiah saw God, and then he saw himself and his condition, and then he was cleansed by God, and then guess what? Isaiah surrendered to God's will. True surrender comes from closeness to God. You know what? We can force people and guilt people into doing certain things, but man, if they're not close to God, guess what? It's not going to last very long. When someone truly encounters God, when someone is truly close to God, guess what? That person will have the same surrender as Isaiah did when he encountered God. Have you noticed that? You know, Isaiah didn't say, oh, I don't know, maybe Brock can do it, right? Whom shall I send? Maybe Brock. I think he's the man to do it, right? Or whom shall I send? You know what? I'm inadequate, God. It's funny. It's not funny, but it's interesting that Isaiah says, you know what? Here am I, Lord, send me. You know how this changes your decision? Because when you get close to God, and then it shows your sin, and then you get cleansed and you get right with God, you have that full surrender to God. So whatever God wants you to do, guess what? You're more willing to do it. And whatever this word says, you know what? You know, I'll do it. And as you're making decisions and as you're praying, you said, Lord, should I do this or should I not? Well, you know, Lord, you say this, but I don't know. I know, Lord, that you tell me not to do this, but I just want to do it. But you know what? If we're close to God, it doesn't matter what it is. Whether it's something that God doesn't want us to do, we say, right away, God. You don't want me to do that? I'm not going to do that. You know, it's something that you want me to do, Lord, I'll do it because you're close to God. You know, I love my wife. I've noticed the closer I am to my wife, it's a, you know, and husbands, we joke around with this, right? The way to survive a marriage is just saying, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, right away, ma'am. But, you know, in all essence, you know, we say that because I love my wife. I know the things that she likes, so I won't do it. I know the things that she doesn't like, so I'm not going to do it. Why? And the closer, the more I get to know my wife and the things that she doesn't like, you know what? I've learned many things that she doesn't like, okay? I was going to name one thing, but I don't do that thing. Why? Because she doesn't like that. You know what would make me do that thing that she doesn't like? Pride. I know you don't like it, but you know what? I love you getting annoyed, so I'm going to do it. And some of us are like that. Lord, I know this annoys you, but I'm going to do it because I know it just annoys you. But you know, the closer we are to God and the more we love God and the more we know God and the more we revere God, we say, you know what, I respect you. I'm not going to do that. I'll do whatever you want, Lord. You want me to take out the trash? I'll take out the trash. You want me to read my Bible? I'll read my Bible. No, I don't want to read my Bible. I'll read my Bible, Lord. You want me to read your Bible? You want me to pray? I'll pray. You want me to go out, tell others about Christ? I'll go do that. You want me to serve you, Lord? I'll do that. No questions asked. You know what? The closer that I am to you, Lord, and I love you, and I know who you are. You're the Almighty God. I revere you, and I respect you, and I'm in awe of you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. We'll have full surrender if we're closer to God. Have you ever worked for a very rich person? I have. He's a very, very hard man. He owned many companies in America, but you know what? He paid, I don't know if he paid well, you know who I'm talking about, but I knew that he had money, right? And as a foreign student who's, can you mute this? Who's not supposed to work in America. And he had the means and all that, and I knew that he was a very respectable man. You know, whatever he wanted, we did it. We did it. Do we respect other people more than we respect God? I wonder about it. It's just a question I just thought of. Are there people, perhaps our boss, perhaps a family member, perhaps somebody, probably maybe the, not the Prime Minister, but someone, King Charles, I don't know, a royal person. Is there someone that we respect more and revere more? And if they were to say, you know what, do this, you'll do that. You want me to jump how high? Or if they told you, don't do that, and you wouldn't do it. But then when it comes to God and God says, look, I want you to do this, you're like, oh, I don't know. Supposed to be doing something right now. I don't want to do it. Do we fear God? Do we respect God? Do we really, are we close to God? You know, sometimes it does reveal our hearts when we don't want to serve God because it reveals how really close we are to God. Do you remember Moses in Exodus 6? At the burning bush, Moses encountered God's holiness. God told him, put off thy shoes. That encounter led Moses to surrender to God's calling. You know, as an 80-year-old man, he went back to Egypt and he went and freed God's people from there. Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9, when Saul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And that one encounter with God made him surrender and say, look, I'll do whatever you want. A man that was persecuting churches is now building churches and trying to get people to believe in the man that he did not believe in. And he had full surrender. Abraham feared God enough to obey when it cost him something. And the fear of God produces obedience in all these men. It produced humility and surrender. And then in turn, wisdom, which is the principal thing. And if we just fear God, remember the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if you don't have that, hey, we're probably on a road to not making the right decisions that we ought to make. That's number one. That's number one. And I go back to the men who said, you know, walk with God. Walk with God. Get close to God. Learn more about God. Because when you do that and you get closer, you know what? It reveals some sin in our lives. But not only that, it gives us that willingness to surrender anything. Surrender our lives, whatever it is. I'll do whatever you want, Lord. I'll do it. The goal of the Christian life is not merely just activity. Oh, I'm serving you, Lord. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. But it is closeness to God. You know, if we have the closeness to God that we ought, all the other activities will, it'll take care of itself. We'll want to do those things. And when we truly get close to Him, our sin is revealed, our hearts are cleansed, and surrender becomes our response. Let me ask you a few questions and I'm done. When was the last time that God deeply convicted us? Be honest with ourselves. A lot of the sermons that I preach convicts me deeply. Usually the sermons that I preach are things that I'm trying to work on, just to be transparent with you. But be honest with yourself. When was the last time when you did something wrong, you said, oh, that hurt my Lord. That hurt God. I shouldn't have done that. When was the last time that you were convicted about something? Are you closer to God now than you were a year ago? A year ago, were you closer to God? Were you praying to Him daily? Were you trying to make sure that you were living right and you were trying to do right? And then now it just seems like, oh, you know, well, you know, I think He's okay with it. I think it's all right. Remember, I love these series that Pastor's talking about. Remember the church at Ephesus? They had left their first love. Is there anything that we're resisting when it comes to surrender? Is there something that God wants you to do, but you're like, nah. I'm fine, Lord. I'll be all right. Are we resisting it? The fear of God is not meant to push us away from Him. It is meant to bring us nearer to Him. Do we respect God? Do we revere Him? Do we know Him? Are we close to Him? Because if we are, these things will be taken care of, just as it did with Isaiah when he encountered God Himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this message. It's very convicting, Lord, that many times that we make decisions, we don't think about you. We don't think about what you would think. We don't think about what condition that we're in, our relationship with you, whether it's close or not. And Lord, we want to please you. You made us for your pleasure. I pray, Lord, that we would fulfill your will, but in order to do that, and in order to make wise decisions, Lord, we've got to get close to you. And I pray, Lord, that we would be a people that will be known for as people who walked with God, people who were close to you, that when we get to heaven, we already know a lot about you, Lord. We know the things that make you happy and make you sad and give you joy, Lord. And we know those things and we know who you are. Lord, help us to get in your book. Help us to learn more about you and help us to fear you as we live our lives, Lord. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.